Welcome to the Resilient Migrant Podcast, a podcast where African immigrants get to talk about their experiences as they assimilate to a different country. This is your host, Brenda Mure. Hi, Prophetess Marka. Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm so excited to be here. Wonderful to connect with you, Brenda.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. I know you were in Africa. I've been waiting to talk to you. I'm looking forward to time of talking about things about African immigrants. You must be so glad to come back to your kids family to relax.
Yes, it's kind of, I'm very passionate about Africa and I really love my country. You know, we lived abroad most of our lives. Mm-hmm. It's always been just in me, like I want to go back, I want to do something. So of course it's great being here with hubby and kids, but then I'm still a little homesick. Can you imagine? I have to confess. Don't tell them I said that.
I won't say that. But I'm sure they're going to listen to the podcast. Wow. You have a heart for Africa, and we will be. I'm so glad that you're here because I'd like to hear your story. But before we know what you're going to do, where you've been, what country you visited, where you've lived, I'd like to know where you were born.
I was born in Zambia. So that's where I'm originally from, but raised in Kenya. My whole secondary school, high school, was in Kenya because my mom worked for the United Nations, yes.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like you really, in your childhood, lived in Zambia, Kenya. And I was reading somewhere that you come from a political family and you just said that your mom worked for the United Nations. And I know your dad was had also diplomatic assignments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, it's so interesting. Some of these things are really in the blood because, of course, you know, I'm a preacher and I've always really restricted myself. I mean, I'm politically conscious. For many years, I would comment on things happening here in the USA, Africa, Zambia. But I never thought I would find myself right back in the middle of it.
Wow. How strange sometimes how we carry the family history even without knowing it in your blood.
Absolutely.
And that said, I know you also went to school in London. I believe you went to do law school there. Am I wrong?
Yes. No, you are right. I know you've really been following. Yes. From Kenya, I went straight to law school, the University of Birmingham. That's where I got my law degree. So I thought, you know, I want to be a lawyer. I want to defend people. I want to be an advocate. So I was a very good student, by the way. When everybody was partying, you know what happened? I went to college.
Yes.
I always thought like my parents would show up any minute, you know. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go to no disco, no club. I look like my parents could see me from where they are. I'm like, no, I came to study. So passed really well, got A's, and I was really psyched about going back to practice law. In fact, I had done an internship at one of the top law firms in our nation. Were waiting for me because even in the internship, I got them so many clients.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. But when I finished my law school, my parents had both studied here in the USA and insisted that I come here to the USA. Wow. America is more broader, just, you know, and so I actually came crying because I was like, I don't want to go to America. You know, I want to go home. I want to practice. But, you know, all things together for good.
Wow. How old were you then? I'm not trying to get your age. You must have been in your late 20s getting to the U.S.
Early, because I went to law school at 18.
Oh, wow.
So I was about 22 when I came to the U.S. Yeah, 22.
Oh, wow. So for the first 20-something years, you had lived in three different countries. Zambia, Kenya, and London.
Yes.
Could you tell us something about just adjusting to a different culture? Was it hard or you just assimilated? Was it easy?
you know, what helped a lot, my parents were diplomats. And, you know, part of the diplomatic is you entertain a lot and you interact with people from different nations. I remember, like, Nairobi, for example, every weekend, without fail, for the 7 years we were there, we were always hosting this group from the Caribbean, this group from China. And you won't believe it, Brenda, my mom, for example, it was a Caribbean group coming. You know, she would make us read. She's like, read about Barbados, Bahamas, just the basics. She's like, I want you to be intelligent so that you're not like completely, so it's amazing how our experiences actually prepare us for our destiny. When we were doing all that hosting, I remember once we always laugh at my sister because we were in the kitchen, we had cooked, and then she was telling my mom, please save the drumstick for me. the visitor, of course, took the drumstick and my sister collapsed crying. The drumstick lady. Yeah, so somehow, and we loved Kenya, by the way. I think I was 12 years old when we were in Kenya.
Okay.
Swahili is very much like my dad's language.
Okay.
So we adjusted. We adjusted very quickly. It wasn't difficult, yes. And then, of course, by the time I was going to the UK, you know, Kenya also has quite a bit of an international community. Then, as I told you, our family hosting, it wasn't difficult by God's grace.
Oh, wow. That's great to know that. And then eventually transitioned to the U.S.
Oh, boy. Yes.
How was the transition now again? Was it tough?
Now, that one, to tell you the truth, Brenda, I found it hard because, number one, I did not want to be here.
Oh, wow.
People get so shocked. You know, everybody wants to come here. I don't know. I was so ready to go back home. So I wasn't that excited. And then I was coming from the British system where they are very formal. They don't call people by the first name. And so, you know, Americans, God bless them, they're kind of very casual. Call people by the first name. I was like, what? I remember when I was doing my master's, I'd always call the professor so and so. They're like, Mwaka, can you relax? Call me John. I couldn't for like a year. Yes, and then I think also the British, I found this kind of respect for authority, for elders, which was completely opposite here.
Yeah,
and as young as I was, I was kind of a bit conservative. And then in law school, you know, they really train you like to obey the law. So that legal mindset, conservative background, no, America, it was tough.
Must have been very, very hard for you to adjust. And as a young person too. But somehow you adjusted and you started living in this country. It became your home country. And you even had your family here in the United States. And I know you are also a pastor and you had a very big church in Boston.
We did.
I remember I used to come and I would see you in the background. You really were not vocal, just quiet.
You know, I don't know what happened, Brenda, because I was just, I always say I was a very nice, smiling pastor's wife. Because remember, I wanted to practice law. I was not into ministry. I loved the Lord. But I always felt, okay, it's my husband's ministry, but I'll support him, which I did. I loved, so that helped a lot. But so that's why you saw he was very much in the forefront. I love coordinating, so I would coordinate, make sure ushers look nice, the worship team. That's where I had delegated myself. And he would always say, honey, you have a gift. You're not just a coordinator, you're not just a trader. So I'm really grateful to him because he would insist, like, no, one Sunday I want you to minister. And I'm like, well, I don't really have much to say. He said, yes, you do. So he actually really pushed me to be who I am today.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great. And I'd like you to also talk about your husband. He comes from a different country. He doesn't come from Zambia. Can you tell us where he's from?
Beautiful nation of Rwanda. And by the way, we met in Kenya.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we met in Kenya. So when I was going to law school, he was coming to the US. So we kind of just dated for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then we thought, okay, this is never going to work because mm-hmm. I'm from Zambia, you're from Rwanda. Mm-hmm. We're in this country, Kenya, none of us are coming back. Because, by the way, my mom was now moving to Abidjan, which means so we're like, this relationship is never going to work. You know, we'll just be friends. So mm-hmm. now that I was in the U.S., we kind of picked up from where we left, that the rest is history.
Here we are. And you make a very great couple. I've come to your church. I've seen you speak, and I like the work that you both do. I want to turn some the tables and talk about something that I've heard you talk in public about. So when you and your husband were married, you are a young couple, and it took so many years for you to get a child. Tell us how many years it took and how you were able to handle that, considering that you were both public figures, you were Christians, and in the Christian community and even in the African community, there's still that tension and that backlash and that negativity women cannot have or are not able to have children. Can you say something about that?
Sure, Brenda. Thank you. It took 6 years. Now, we were a young couple, so the first 2.5 years, we were not really worried. Mm-hmm. We were excited about something before the church was growing. We were doing massive evangelism, big mm-hmm. conferences. So we were not really worried. But by the third year, we started saying, okay, now we're ready to have a family. You know, all our friends who we married that year, they all have kids, they're talking about diapers, we have no clue, sleepless nights. Now we're like trying, nothing's happening. Oh my, of course, now the fourth year, people are talking. Meanwhile, the church is busting at the seams. It is growing, it's expanding. Everybody knows this dynamic couple. And you know, Brenda, they would always say, oh, they're such a dynamic couple, but they don't have children. Mm-hmm. Oh, they have so much zeal for the Lord, but shame, they don't have children. You know, so they would compliment us, but always focus. And you know, it makes you very self-conscious. So you are so much, you are touching the community. People like respect you, you are trailblazers, but then there's this missing. So now the community is talking, the church is talking, now the two families run the Zambia. Oh man. Mm-hmm. It was a bit stressful. Mm-hmm. It was a bit stressful, yeah.
So if you don't mind sharing how you were able to cope during those tough moments. And I ask that because we sometimes don't want to talk how we were able to cope. And that's part of life, and that's part of the mental health challenge that sometimes comes with situations like this. How were you able to cope during those difficult moments?
You know, what really helped, Brenda, that's a very good question. And we always tell couples, stick together, because once you start blaming each other, it's your fault. Oh my God, that is a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. That's where the stress and depression now goes to another level. You know what I mean? Yeah. But what helped is no one blamed the other. My hubby never said, oh my God, why did I marry this man from Zambia? Or you know, yeah. That he would not let his family like, you know, come on me or anything. So banding together was definitely how, you know, we were there for each other. Of course, sometimes we were both overwhelmed, but the fact that we were on the same side,
okay,
at the same time, that is crucial. And that's what we always counsel couples, that stay on the same side. It's not a competition. It's not a fight. The Bible says a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. Prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, the beauty with these things, not sometimes we feel everybody is gossiping, everybody. No, they want people in the community who would encourage us. We are praying for you, you're an amazing couple. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we had mentors, mama like Mama Wairimu, who, of course, as you know, God really used us so mightily to pray for us. So you need a support team. And then, of course, the work of God, because the church also kept us busy. Mm-hmm. So we're not just like sitting on the couch idle, wondering when are these babies going to pop. We were busy. Mm-hmm. So that helped tremendously.
Oh, okay. Wow. And that's great that you talked about always sticking together and the support system. Sometimes when I feel like we are going through life difficulties. We're always maximizing on the one thing that is not working. Well, there are other things that are working, and instead of maximizing, while you're still working on some the thing that's not working, we forget. So I'm great that you talked about how you were able to navigate that difficult situation. And it's such an encouragement to couples that sometimes you really have to stick it together. The community needs to support people who are going through difficult times. And again, yes. Some life is life. You can't control sometimes what comes to you to this situation. Mm. I now want to turn the tables back. I know you've lived in the U.S. for so many years. And then a few months ago, you decided to run back to Zambia to run for a political seat. Can you tell us something about it and why you decided to go back? I know you mentioned that politics, law is part of you. Just tell us something about it.
Sure. First of all, I've been going back and forth, like, mm-hmm. since 2014. Both Apostle and I, we've been, even from Boston, mm-hmm. it was just not as frequent. Actually, that time, Boston, we did more of East Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda. We mm-hmm. do conferences. Rwanda, we used to feed a lot of orphans, so mm-hmm. we would have this massive Christmas program.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2014, when Zambia turned 50, it's actually the Lord who told me to establish Fresh Aroma Ministry there.
Mm-hmm.
Not just go as a visitor, like preach in friends' churches, but really have our own ministry host conferences, right?
Okay.
So 2014, I think I've been going to Zambia like twice a year.
Uh-huh.
Now, last year when the pandemic began, mm-hmm. I started a We Care Foundation. You know, when we here in the U.S. got the stimulus checks,
mm-hmm.
I suddenly got such a burden. I'm like, okay, the American government has taken care of its citizens. Mm-hmm. I began to see people at home. How are they eating? I mean, it was an overwhelming burden.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't just shake it off.
Mm-hmm.
And to cut a long story short, I basically started this foundation and we feed like 200 families a month
mm-hmm.
by God's grace.
Give wow. them all
yes. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm not there, the team will do it.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, when I was home, I was in the feeding in one of our compounds.
Mm-hmm.
One of the presidents of the political party,
mm-hmm.
he reached out to me and said, "Wow, Prophetess Monka, I'm just amazed you can come from America
mm-hmm.
into the slums."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You are the type of leaders mm-hmm. we need. Please come see."
Mm-hmm.
So I went to his office and he just said, "You know, I've been following you. Your passion for the nation is evident."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who comes from America and goes to the slums?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Wow.
I want you to join me. So I'm like, what do you mean?
Uh-huh.
Then I said, preacher.
Uh-huh.
And he laughed. And he said, I'm a preacher too. By the way, he's a servant of God.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But mm-hmm. I believe Christians should be in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Should be an example. Should be a role model.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I try to, well, I'm a preacher. He says, I'm a preacher too. And he's like, well, I have a ministry. He's like, I have a ministry too.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, well, we need your caliber. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're here, you're gentle, you have a heart to serve people.
Mm-hmm.
So first, I was put on the national executive to be in charge of international relations.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then I came back to Dallas. Then he calls and goes, you know what? You are actually doing the work of an MP.
Wow.
I told with my hubby and it's like perfect.
Uh-huh.
Perfect empty. So that's how I went back in December
uh-huh.
and oh my God, it was amazing. Very enlightening. It's a totally different world.
Uh-huh.
And I love the challenge, Brenda, because sometimes believers
uh-huh.
we are so comfortable in just the four walls of the church.
That's true. Uh-huh.
Yet there's a whole other world there. So uh-huh. it was very enlightening. Very informative. I met people I would never have met if I just stuck to being Prophetess Mwaka, the preacher. And not everybody, because, you know, people were worried that, oh, Prophetess, but, you know, you're too innocent. You're not going to manage insulting. I said, who said politics has to be insulting? No.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, listen, I'm not that delicate. I'm not going to fall apart if somebody criticizes me.
Yes.
So it was an amazing experience. experience. Our political party did not win, but okay. I prayed that experience for anything. It was awesome.
And I'm just curious, what are some of the things, especially as a diasporan, how did you feel taking that, like maneuvering in a different country in a political seat?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. You know, it's so interesting. I think that, number one, the diaspora, we have so much to offer. So mm-hmm. much. Our mentality is different. Mm-hmm. Our mindset is different. We are very hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, at least Kenya, they are hardworking. Zambians, you see, we've never gone through war or famine. So that I find are very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They're very entitled. They want everything to be done for them. And I think one of the reasons I caused such a wave, mm-hmm. first of all, growing up in Kenya, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I have that hard work ethic.
Uh-huh.
And also coming here, because here we don't have maids, you do mm-hmm. everything.
That's true.
We are very driven, very, we have that initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting. So on one hand, they respect you. They know, wow, you're coming from America. You're enlightened. You're educated. But there's also like a love-hate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They also feel intimidated by you.
Wow.
And they think you have the best of both worlds. Wow. Okay, so you live in America. Your family, you have all this.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to come here. So, man, it's a lot of maneuvering. You have to have thick skin. Just made it clear, not with words, with my actions, but they're also trying to intimidate you. Oh, well, you know, you wouldn't know, you know, you've come from abroad and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you think you have all this money. And
mm-hmm.
My attitude was just like, look, this is my country. I have a right to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a difference and I'm going to represent people. So you do have to have thick skin.
And sometimes I think people on the ground forget, because I was also talking to another diasporan who had gone back home, trying to help the society. People forget that you're not coming to fight for the resources or the situation. You're coming to just create a balance. Acceptance is a very tough thing. And talking about the tough skin, I would like to know how you've been able to create the tough skin, being a preacher and also doing the political work.
I remember once I was on radio, when I was an aspiring MP, and this man calls, cry, more prophetess. Does that mean no more conferences? And you know, and then he says, you've abandoned us. So I said, what do you mean? Because he says, we know you as a preacher. I said, listen, I'm still a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, Daniel, he was a man of God, yet a statesman.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Nehemiah, who rebuilt the wall. Look at Ezra. Look at Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said, well, that was in those times, you know, this politics of today is dirty. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, politics is dirty because we've allowed the people of the world
mm-hmm.
to make all the policies. I said, we need to be aware they are making the policies.
Yes.
They can't just keep taking us, just pray. No, no, no. I want to be aware they are making the policies.
That's true. And
so you know, you have to be firm like that, because people will put you on a guilt trip that you're mm-hmm. a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
They will make you feel bad. Well, you don't really understand. You've lived abroad. You don't know what suffering is.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak my language very fluently. Oh, is that an accent we detect? I'm like, y'all, stop, please. You're not going to cut me out of the game. So that's what mm-hmm. I mean. They'll throw all kinds of, you know, little things.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then, of course, there are a lot of men mm-hmm. also, and oh, will you manage? You know, this is a man's field. I just look at them. I'm like, you have no idea. My face is like, I am 10 times better than y'all. So don't mess with this girl.
Don't mess with this lady. So I'm also very curious, Prophetess Mwaka, and I'm sure some of the listeners would might be very curious in terms of the decision of you going to Africa, leaving your family behind. I know your husband, as you've always said, how supportive your husband is towards your work. So how was that? How did you navigate those conversations?
It was very tough. Mm-hmm. I'm really grateful. My hubby does know my passion for Zambia, and mm-hmm. the kids also know. But in reality, it was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I usually go with the twins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least the older three, the three are a bit older. Mm-hmm. But then COVID was so bad, so I couldn't take the twins.
Mm-hmm.
So my hubby came to see me. He came in February. Then I came back to Dallas in March. Mm-hmm. No, April, for like a two-week break.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came again in July. So, mm-hmm. of course, we do the video calls. But it's tough being apart.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there are some moments you just can't afford to miss. And mm-hmm. and if you look at anybody who's done anything great, there's just the price to pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just have to sacrifice, because there's no way I could be an MP from this side.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was even appointed presidential spokesperson.
Wow.
Imagine.
Wow.
All of that years for the president of our party. So there were at least the good. The family could see that, wow, you're really climbing, you have so much visibility in the nation. So mm-hmm. as tough as it was, those high moments, they really felt, wow, Mama, you are representing. And
mm-hmm. Thank you for being very frank about that. They're not easy decisions to make, and yet you still have to keep your identity and your ministry and your calling. And
your
family is there to support you, and they understand, and I'm glad they did. And I would like to also talk about your family. I always look at your pictures. You're very tall. How tall are you? Because you look short in these pictures.
I'm actually 5'10". I'm a tall lady.
You are a tall lady.
But of course, my hubby is 6, I think he's 6'3".
Uh-huh.
Our 17-year-old is 6'4".
Wow.
First born is 6'5", the second born is 6'9".
Wow. That's why you look short in those pictures, but but your boys are very, very tall, and your hubby too.
I know.
So I'm assuming we are heading to the NBA, hopefully.
We are working hard on that. I'm like, you guys, this height must produce income.
Oh, wow. I know you're a woman of faith and you're praying.
Yes, too much. And they're practicing. I told them, I pray you work hard on the court.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. Glad to hear that. I also, as we almost come into the conclusion of this podcast, considering what you have done in the community and you continue to do, what would be your advice to women in relationships and who are about to get married and still want to maintain their identity? I feel like women in general, and even African immigrant women, we tend to lose our identities when we get into some relationships, not all. But what would be your advice?
You know, I really, really want to advise, please be careful and know who you're dating. Because mm-hmm. the worst thing is to be with a person who's intimidated by you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're with someone who's intimidated by you, they're not going to support, say you want to do a PhD,
mm-hmm.
maybe you want to do multiple businesses, mm-hmm. Maybe you want to be traveling, they're not going to support that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people ask my hubby all the time, oh my God, your wife is everywhere. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? You know, and he goes, he said, I feel great. We are mm-hmm. in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
She supported me when I was in the forefront. Mm-hmm. And he says, now the grace of God is upon her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you as a couple, you can even be fine, and it's just people's words can kind of, you mm-hmm. know. So it's so important, ladies who are listening, please, please know who you are dating.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I say know who you are dating, you know, someone cannot pretend for mm-hmm. too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just tell by their reaction over certain things, their mm-hmm. comments over certain things. Like right now, I have a friend of mine. She is a phenomenal preacher. She has a huge ministry, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But men are intimidated by her. They are like, oh no, we can't marry you because it literally will be in your shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine using that word. Yeah.
Wow.
You have to make sure the guy is secure.
Mm-hmm.
He must know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And because a relationship should bring out the best in you. Marriage should bring out the best in you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to meet you 5 years later, Brenda, and you're like, you've lost weight, looking mm-hmm. miserable. And this is happening. I've counseled so many people. There were even servants of God.
Mm-hmm.
Their husband was get all these invitations and he wouldn't let her. And she was celebrated in the church. He wouldn't let her like, do a solo. Mm-hmm. And guess what he said? He's like, well, people like more than me. This is a pastor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So wow. Like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, it didn't end well, actually. Unfortunate. And these are servants of God, but the insecurity was on another level. They didn't divorce.
Wow. And that's very sad. Sometimes I feel, and I know we are veering off topic, that we need a lot of counseling in terms of emotional health when it comes to relationship, because we as a community or as a people or some people get into relationship getting with the idea that somebody will make me whole.
Right. So
that's the way it's supposed to be, but you know better than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you have to be whole in yourself. Mm-hmm. Somebody can bring out the best in you, Brenda. Mm-hmm. But you see, also, you can't depend on someone to make you happy. Because what if that day they are down?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to be mentally and emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all of us, no matter how great, dynamic, we all sometimes I feel, oh, I need to lose more weight. Mm-hmm. We all have that, but nothing. But what happens, especially women, it's like because you love this person, you lose yourself in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for example, if a separation, divorce, death happens, some people get a nervous breakdown because they've not improved on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They've not developed themselves. They were so dependent on that other person.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's not helpful. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your advice. I will personally take it. I really do appreciate it. I personally see you as a very strong lady in the community. But by the end of the day, you're a human being. You get difficult times. Sometimes life can be challenging.
Yes.
What are some of the things you do to cope with life challenges, to take care of yourself?
I tend to be a workaholic, so I'm always going. But like, for example, because of how busy the last 7 months was, when I came back to Dallas, I literally said, guys, no functions, meaning my friends now, I need to give my family time.
Mm-hmm,
you know? So I'm not trying to be superwoman, win the whole world, and then lose my family. Yeah,
that's
so
true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have like a support system, because you know when you've been away for so long, now fitting again,
mm-hmm.
because when my kids are like, mom, you kind of look like a fish out of water. I'm like, geez, thanks. Because now remember, I'm coming from home where they were cooking for me, cleaning.
Yeah.
So now I'm standing in my kitchen. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, so, but I do have like 2-3 good friends who like sometimes just pray. I can just be myself. I'm not prophetess, this great preacher. I'm just Mwaka.
Mm-hmm.
My guys, look, now I'm trying to adjust. I feel tired. I feel burnt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more important to have real friends.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then I take walks. I find it so therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
Walks in our neighborhood. And I think eating healthy, very important.
That's very important. Mm-hmm.
Yes, eat healthy, drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
Read a nice book. I love comedy.
Now you do?
Yeah. I love to laugh. Yes, laughter, the Bible says, is good medicine.
Okay.
Yes. And girls, especially the ladies, just take yourselves out. You don't always have to be taken out by a man.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the last time I was in Nairobi, we went out with my school friends. I went to Loreto Convent with Sangari.
Oh, wow. Nice school. Yeah, very nice school.
And about 8 of us, I'm telling you, Brenda, we had so much fun. We made so much noise. All the waiters wanted to wait on us because we were having too much fun. And it was so nice. We were just ourselves, forget the titles, forget Mrs. Wu, Mama Wu. We were just girls, you know. Those moments are very important. So that's what helps stay on track, stay mentally and emotionally healthy.
Oh, good. So what you've talked talked is setting boundaries with your own life, having a support system.
Yes.
Having some physical health, taking care of your diet. And you're very lucky you live in Dallas. We always walk. The weather is perfect.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Marka. We are almost done. So I'll just ask you some very fun questions.
Sure.
One of the questions I'll ask, what should I have asked you that I didn't?
How long have I been married?
Oh, good question. And how many years have you been married?
29.
Congratulations.
Thank you, by God's grace.
Wow. Please pass my greetings to Pastor Darius. Really appreciate that.
Sure, my dear.
Another fun question, you talked about comedy. What is your best comedy?
I love the Nigerian comedy. Oh my God, they're so crazy. The accent, those are my favorites.
That's good.
Oh, therapeutic, oh my God. And my kids are very good imitators. So sometimes we cook, oh my God, these children, we always laugh with Apostle that the mixed blood.
Yeah.
Zambia, they are cuckoo, I tell you. So.
Wow, very funny. So what's your favorite sport? I know you love sports. What's your favorite sport?
Basketball.
I knew you would say that. I thought you would say that.
I know. Yes, I love basketball. The boys have made me love basketball.
What's your favorite team?
The Boston Celtics. Can you imagine?
Boston Celtics, that's...
Yes. Yes. Of course, the Lakers. I love the Lakers too. After the Celtics, it's the Lakers.
Oh, wow. That's a great team. Both are great teams. Okay. About one or two fun more questions. One subject that you never liked in school.
Oh, I never liked physics. Oh, it was hard. It was too hard. I could never remember. I did not do well in physics.
Same here. Wow. And what was your favorite subject?
I was very good in English.
Oh.
I always used to come number one.
That's great. Yes. That's why you went to law school.
Yes.
So what's your favorite meal that you cook for your family?
I love chapati, but I don't cook it so well. Yes, I normally get the friends to do, but our favorite is chapati and nice chicken stew and meat and mushrooms. Yes.
Wow.
Chapati, it's not good for our waist, but we love it.
Gotta do it sometimes, one life to live, eh?
Exactly.
Okay. One last question before you tell us where we can reach you.
Sure.
As you're Zambian, how do you say bye-bye in Zambian? I think the language is Bemba.
There's Bemba. No, mine is my dad is Nyanja. My mom is Lozi.
Lozi. Okay. So how do you say bye in both?
Nyanja, they say Musale Bwino. That's like stay well.
Okay, Musale Bwino. Okay.
Lozi means Luile means we are going. No, Lozi is hard. Let's just stick to Nyanja.
It's always hard when you come from a country where you have to speak 2-3 different languages.
Yes.
Very. Oh, wow. Okay. Hopefully I can remember that.
Mm.
One last fun question. How do you say bye in Kinyarwanda, your husband's?
Murabeho.
Murabeho. Okay.
Yes. He'll be so happy I remembered.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be very happy about that. Wow. So where can we reach you? What are your website, your social media handles that anyone can reach you at?
Thank you so much for this beautiful opportunity, Brenda. I've had such a wonderful time. Thank you. They can reach me. They can follow me on Facebook, Prophetess Mwaka.
Mm-hmm.
Also have a YouTube page, Prophetess Mwaka, also on Instagram at Prophetess Mwaka. And my kids have helped me develop a TikTok page. It says wow. Dr.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I really, really want to thank you once again for joining me in this podcast. New Zealand migrant from Kenya, London, US, and then again Zambia, trying to do some work there. And I know you still travel. Keep up the good work. You are a good source of strength to many immigrants. And we really, really appreciate, I personally appreciate the work you do for the community.
Thank you, Brenda. Please don't hesitate if you need a part two. I'm just a phone call away.
Oh, God, I will look for a topic because there are some topics. As we were talking, I could tell how passionate you are about relationships.
Yes.
And some of the challenges we have. You know what? Thank you for offering that.
Yes. I want especially the young ladies because I've counseled so many and it's quite a mess out there. So I'm very willing to help and to counsel.
Okay. Well, that's very great because that's my passion also as a lady and relationships and in identity. I got the right person.
I'll be delighted. Let's partner together and help our young ladies.
That's true. That's true. Thank you so much.
Thank you.